Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Valley View Village, an adult community offering a complete continuum of care, including independent living, assisted living, skilled, and long-term care. Learn more about this community at valleyviewvillage.org.
It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Why did rural Iowa vote overwhelmingly Republican in 2016? Why did most rural voters in our state support Donald Trump, even though many of those same voters backed Barack Obama in 2008 and 2012? Well, that's a question former Iowa Lieutenant Governor Patty Judge wants to answer. And to help her do that, she's created a nonprofit called Focus on Rural America, aimed at developing and promoting progressive messaging and causes that resonate in farm country. She joins me for this first half hour in our Des Moines studio. Patty Judge, welcome back to the program.
Well, thank you, Ben. It's great to be back with you today.
We're going to reach out to our listeners this half hour and have you be perhaps Patty Judge's focus group for a few minutes. Tell us, River to River listeners, why did most rural voters turn their backs on the Democratic Party in the last election? Was it because of policies and issues, or did it have more to do with the candidates themselves? We want to hear your view, your experience. 1-866-780-9100. 1-866-780-9100. You can also email us rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. Patty Judge, take us back to last year and tell us, in a nutshell, the strategy, the message the Democratic Party thought was going to win them the election.
Well, I think the message that the Democratic Party used in 2016 was, it was all good stuff. Unfortunately, it was not resonate with rural voters in Iowa, or in fact across the country. The work that we have done in the last few months with focus groups and with conversations, trying to figure out exactly the thinking that went into people's decisions to vote twice for Barack Obama and then to vote for Donald Trump. And clearly to us, the voters in rural Iowa simply could not articulate the message that they heard from the Democrats. Was that too broad? Was it not focused directly at them?
Remind us, what was the message?
Well, there you go. See, you don't remember either. An interesting...
Well, I'm in the business of asking questions, so that's part of it.
An interesting question that we asked was, what did Donald Trump say?
Right.
What's he talking? And clearly, the voters would came back to us with, he's going to build a wall. He's going to make America great again. The very quick, very concise questions. But when we asked the same question about Hillary Clinton, there was a difficulty articulating what she stood for or what she wanted to do as president. And in fact, she had very detailed white papers developed on most every subject conceivable. But I think it just was not resonating with rural America.
Mm-hmm. And part of the Democratic strategy, especially after, for instance, that Hollywood Access video came out, was just to bash this very unconventional candidate, Donald Trump, right?
Yes, the thinking was, you know, that Donald Trump was such a loose cannon. The things that he was saying were so unacceptable to mainstream America, or at least in our minds they were, that people wouldn't vote for him. And so we should spend some time and energy tying various candidates to him. We should disavow the things he's saying publicly. And clearly that was not the right strategy. The right strategy would have been to try to really stay with the issues that are important to the voters.
Mm-hmm.
And the overarching issue with rural America, and by the way, Ben, as you know, I live there. I live in Albia.
Mm-hmm.
Is the economy, is a good job that pays a living wage, and that we can be sure is going to be there tomorrow. I think that's where we fell down in not stressing that. For example, we talked a lot about minimum wage. about raising the minimum wage, which I personally believe is something that we should do. And Hillary Clinton talked a lot about it, too. But that does not resonate with rural Iowa. Instead, what resonates is a good job at a living wage. Mm-hmm. So that's a good example of kind of where we fell short.
When in the campaign did you realize, did it dawn on you, or did you get this feeling, this message is just not working in a lot of Iowa?
Well, I think I can't really pinpoint an exact time. Of course, when I made the run for the United States Senate seat, I knew that was an uphill slog all the way. But I felt that it was important to do because I thought that we needed to make certain that our court system was held in good regard and was functioning properly in our country. And I, again, also still believe that. But as I traveled around Iowa, and particularly in the fall, you know, there was a very large block of undecided voters, very, very late. And when we started to see those break in the end of September, after Labor Day, September and into October, they began to break all for Donald Trump. You know, one of the politics 101 is that an undecided voter will usually break for a challenger. Well, who was the challenger in that race? Although neither of those people were an incumbent at the time, that clearly the voters in Iowa saw Hillary as the establishment, and they saw Donald Trump as the change agent.
Mm-hmm. Do you think for Democrats it would have been only an outside Democrat candidate like a Bernie Sanders who would have had a chance, looking back on last year?
You know, that's hard to say. I don't think that is necessarily the truth. I think that it was not a question of having an outsider particularly, but of having, of appealing to the voters, having the right message, which is something we want to try to do a better job of.
How much of this is simply a dislike of Hillary Clinton, you think?
Well, that certainly is a factor. In our focus groups, when we would ask people about Hillary, we did not get favorables. People were not generally listening to her. They would say, when they were pressed on that question, why do you not like her, or what is the problem with her? They would articulate back to us, well, they weren't sure, but it was something about her emails. They couldn't articulate what the problem with the email was particularly, but that there was a problem there that bothered them a lot.
With her private server all the investigations into that, or more specifically to the drip, drip, drip of the WikiLeaks, the hack emails.
Yeah, I think it was the drip, drip, drip of the negative campaign encompassing all of those issues, the issues of the WikiLeaks, the issue of the FBI at the last moment, the issue of the private server, whether or not that was appropriate. But those things were all used very skillfully against her. And who knows, you know, what the outcome would have been if any one of those things had been different or not been used in this campaign.
Mm-hmm. I'm reading an article from today, from the Washington Post, talking about a recent appearance by Hillary Clinton, talking about why she lost in 2016. The takeaway from this article is that she thinks she lost in large part because of the Russian interference, the hacking, the meddling, possibly it's being investigated now, possible collusion by the Trump campaign staff. How much do you think the meddling influenced the election outcome?
Well, I don't really know, and I don't know if we'll ever know. It just was such a strange occurrence, and at that time, of course, not understanding why in the world or what was going on. And I think we really still don't know. You know, we're at a different place then than we've ever been before, because
right.
It's much more difficult now to know what's the truth and what isn't the truth.
We won't know. We won't know. That's true. But is it to you conceivable that Russian influence meddling tipped the balance in favor of Donald Trump? Conceivable.
It is conceivable. And again, in the near future, some of those questions will be answered. I think it is important that we do have this independent investigation. That's not going to change the outcome of this election. The election is over, and we need to move on and try to do things that are good for this country. But certainly, as we go into the next election cycle, we need to be certain that those questions don't ever arise again.
Former Iowa Lieutenant Governor Patty Judge is my guest this half hour. She's created a new nonprofit called Focus on Rural America, trying to find out the answer to the question why so many rural voters in Iowa turned their backs on the Democratic Party. Let's go to Steve in Des Moines, also looking to our listeners to perhaps give Patty Judge some more opinions. She's been having focus groups she's talking about. But Steve in Des Moines, what do you want to add to the conversation?
Well, I just have a comment to make that, you know, when I hear somebody say we're going to concentrate on the message and see what message resonates, as a voter, I would much rather hear somebody say we're going to define the problems and then we're going to focus on fixes for those problems. And I hope other voters are less interested in what I'm going to just call talking points, as in, you know, what's our message, what are we saying over and over again. And I hope other voters, like myself, focus more on let's define the problems and let's come up with a policy that's going to fix those problems.
But when we talk about minimum wage, Steve, isn't the talking point that Patty Judge just mentioned an answer to a problem where we see a divide between rich and poor in this country?
Well, as she pointed out earlier, you know, people weren't focused on that. They were focused on a job. And if you don't have a job, it doesn't matter what the minimum wage is. Your wage is still zero.
Mm-hmm.
And so, the policy should be focused on how are we going to create jobs and less on a talking point that the minimum wage is important. To raise the minimum wage is important and not necessarily fix the problem.
Patty Judge, how do you react to Steve?
I just want to say to Steve, I absolutely agree with you. I think we have got to do a better job of listening to people in rural communities, of understanding clearly where the problems lie, why aren't those jobs there, and what can we do to try to get them there. How can we set public policy that looks at rural America, because clearly we have gotten left behind. I would just want to assure you, Steve, that is my ultimate goal, that by the time we get to next winter, when the legislature comes back into Des Moines and they start their conversations, there is a rural agenda developed that we can present.
Okay, Steve in Des Moines, thank you very much for your point and your call. Let's go to Mary. Mary, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from rural Ollie, Iowa, and I know Patty, and I've known her for years, and I am a political junkie, and I will just ask real quickly and take the answer off air. Why didn't Hillary promote their 8 years in office when my father, the moderate Republican, switched parties and came over to the light? My mother, an ardent Democrat, I grew up in a mixed household, but I will tell you that Hillary should have touted their record because it was a good record in spite of the president's foibles. I never heard her tout her record as first lady and an equal partner in that presidency.
Okay, so you're going back to the Clinton administration, not the Obama administration when she was Secretary of State.
No, she was wonderful in that role also. But God's sake, we had the best 8 years in my adult life, the middle class did, under the Clintons.
Okay.
And she did a terrific job, an amazing job.
Mary, let's get a reaction from Patty Judge to your comment.
Well, and by the way, Mary, I do recognize your voice, and good to hear from you this morning. You know, there's a lot of whys. There's just a lot of whys, and as I said earlier, we can't go back and undo this election. Donald Trump is the president of the United States, but what we can do and have to do is be certain that as we go into another election cycle. First of all, that it is secure from foreign influences. And second of all, that we listen more closely to the voter, and that we develop issues and really try hard to solve problems, particularly in rural America.
Mary, thanks so much for your call.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go to Cedar Rapids. John is listening in Cedar Rapids. Hi, John.
Hey, guys.
Welcome to the program. You're on the air with Patty
Thank
Judge.
You. Hey, how are you guys doing today?
We're great. What do you want to chip in here? Do you have some information that tells Patty Judge more about why the Democrats lost rural Iowa?
Well, I've got a couple different reasons. So I guess growing up in Iowa, I mostly grew up in the city, but whenever you meet kids from small towns, you know, they would talk about school, and occasionally the conversation would lead to, they don't really have black kids that go to their school, or like kids of different races. And with Donald Trump building this wall, I don't want to say that rural America is more segregated than the bigger cities, but I think that part of that would definitely brought some sort of pull into, I guess, rural America voting for Donald Trump, as well as when he was campaigning, he hit all the small areas that Hillary Clinton didn't hit.
Mm. So he was more of a candidate that appealed to the rural areas. What do you think about that, Patty Judge?
This is when we did this series of focus groups, we purposefully selected participants that had voted twice for Barack Obama and then voted for Donald Trump, because one of the issues that we wanted to test or look at is the issue of race, and does that play a significant role in rural America, in rural Iowa. It really did not appear to us that race was a determinant factor. But I do know that the demographics in rural Iowa in many places have changed dramatically over the last few years. Larger and larger populations of Hispanic folks, and that there is a tension between the Hispanic portions of communities and the non-Hispanic portions, and so I think in some ways the message, the build the wall message, the deport people that were not here with good documentation and so forth, I think that did play a role in rural Iowa, and those are important questions and issues that that rural Iowa is going to have to work through. We obviously need that labor force, and how do we do that and do that correctly?
Mm-hmm. So apart from the messaging, you feel rural Iowans were actually behind the policies and the issues of the Democratic Party, that there was a mismatch there, that it you would tell rural Iowans who voted Republican, they're in large part voting against their positions, their own held beliefs?
Well, that's what we're trying to figure out, Ben. And again, we heard very clearly that they are concerned about their jobs, and that is really the overarching issue. They're concerned about the quality of schools that we see in rural Iowa, and certainly that has been under attack for the last few years, too. You know, this question of how do we get enough funding to make that school competitive today.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a number of issues, and I think that we can't be silent. I am not Focus on Rural America is not a Democratic organization per se. Where this is it is a not for profit, and we will be looking, you know, very broadly, not just in through a Democrat or a Republican lens, but looking broadly at the problems that we're facing in rural Iowa.
Okay.
You know, I think it's the greatest place in the world to live. raised my children there. John and I live there yet today. And I know that there are many, many folks living in rural Iowa that agree with me that it's a great place to live, it's a great life, but we need to be looking at the problems, we need to be figuring out what we can do to solve them.
Mm-hmm. Just a couple more minutes with Patty Judge. Jed in Mason City, I'll have to ask you to please be brief, but please, what's your question or your point as to why the Republicans won so many rural voters in Iowa last election?
I was raised a Democrat. I was part of a farm family in a smaller town than Mason City. And I think the comments about Hillary losing the election in the last seconds of it don't ring true, because she's had 26 years to put herself in the – to form an opinion on herself and Bill. You know, the 84 – 88, those are the last elections where rural America was important to the Democrats very well. And Bill and Hillary are very much more aligned with Tyson Foods and the people who kind of hollowed out the center of America. And you know, if you look at the red and blue maps, the blue is in California and New England. And I think, you know, that just speaks for itself.
Hmm. Okay. Jed, a quick reaction to that?
I appreciate those comments, and that certainly are interesting thoughts. We have an opportunity, we need to take advantage of that. We need to start talking about those issues and try to figure out some solutions.
Okay, in the final minute or so, what do you expect from the Democratic Party in 2018 when we ramp up next year into that midterm election? Do you think the message would have, whatever the message is, do we have a message, an overhaul, and will the Democratic Party be able to change course?
Well, we have an opportunity, Ben. We have an opportunity to listen closely, carefully, and to think about solutions that we can offer to the problems that Iowans are facing.
Mm-hmm.
I think if we do that, that there will be some changes again in 18. The jury's still out. But we do have the opportunity, and I believe it's important that we take advantage of that.
Okay, former Iowa Lieutenant Governor Patty Judge, thank you so much for coming into our Des Moines studio. When we come back after a short break, we'll listen back to my conversation with Dr. Jose Marquende about the nearly 100% effective cure for club foot. That's a congenital condition. It's called the Ponseti method, this cure, developed by a University of Iowa professor. This Saturday is World Club Foot Day. We'll learn about that, and also a conversation I had with research scientist Bill Kurth about the University of Iowa's involvement with Cassini mission to Saturn. Cassini is in the final phase of its 20-year voyage. I'm Ben Kiefer, back with more of River to River in just a moment.